Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut here on Eagle FM. As always, I'm here until the hour of 11 with say for a few switches, or more like collabos, as I like to call them, especially for my morning show. That is has been, at least for the past couple of weeks, coming from the Windhoek Magistrate Court, and today we are going to be, we are going to have a different collabo of some sort, and that's of a much older, just an equally controversial case, and that is of the Fish Rot. And now, if for those of you that remember last time, Judge Chihengo, I think it was back in February. And from what I understand, he is not the presiding judge over that case, or he's not the one that's adjudicating the case. Since, well, he, let's just say he threw in a towel. Oh, that's, well, in my comical mind, the gap-ish way. That is the live stream that will be coming, that will be bringing you from the hour of 10. And that is assuming they, actually start in time, but we always know, every time they say the show starts at 10 factor in African time, which is, pretty nice, actually. With all that in mind, it's also important to put in mind that, this is one of the NAMCO bail application has been taking place and is still taking place, as we speak, is still taking place, and that's taking place in the Windhoek Magistrate Court. The Fish Rot, on the other hand, is taking place in the High Court, and it has not started yet. At least last time I checked, and I will be on alert to bring you that as soon as it commences. Now, this is quite an interesting one, since it's one that has been going on since 2019. That's the case that has been in pre-trial for a very long time. So before you get into trouble with authorities, ask yourself one question. How good are you at sitting behind bars for 5 years of pre-trial before we even start the main trial? And I think that's the most painful thing. And painful if it's you are the one behind bars, but if you are just sitting in the studio talking about it, it's not that painful. He'd just be here talking about it. But one thing to also put in mind here is that Judge Hengo kept on insisting that this case cannot remain in pre-trial for any longer, because it's been in pre-trial for a very long time now. So he kept on insisting that the case goes to main trial come 4th of August, and that's today. Now, the reason why it has been in, one of the reasons, I think it's safe to say, why it has been in pretrial for as long as it has been, is because of the sheer number of individuals involved and the high profile nature of the case. And we're just talking about juristic entities here, and you have we're just talking about natural entities, or more like natural persons, aka people, as we just we like to call them in simple language that is not complicated, as in juristic that, but no, it's just immense. It's that simple. And you have also a lot of, institutions that are involved. One of them being international, aka the Icelandic, because the whole case involved the Icelandic fishing company coming to Namibia to basically, allegedly collude with a lot of Namibian high profile individuals, and then gave us what we have, what we call today as the Fish Rot Files. That's the case that we'll be bringing you from the hour of 10. But why was this case in pretrial for as long as it, for as long as it has? Representative. And the state has been involved in quite a few things. And of course, proving is one thing. alleging is one thing, and proving is a whole different ballgame. Pardon me. And we have seen this, for those of us that have been following the NAMCO bail application have seen this. There are a lot of allegations that being, a lot of allegations that are being made by the state towards everyone that's involved in the bail application, in the NAMCO bail application, have been taking the stand all throughout their examination in chief and cross-examination. It's sort of like paints a picture of what really is going on here. Who do you believe? Do you go with the state or do you go with the, do you go with the defense lawyers? Which is why I'm an advocate of wait for the judgment. Don't go with the court of public appeal. Because there's a reason why that court, we have tried, as a species, by that I mean, we have tried to use the court of public appeal to try and settle dispute. It never ends well. Because, in the early days of the founding of what is known today as the United States, there's something called the Massachusetts, is it the Salem witch hunts? And that's what it, that's literally what it sounds like. This is where people were just, this is actually why, the Salem, Massachusetts, I think, it's called, witch hunts is the reason why public opinion is not a very good court to rely on, to rely on to run a country. Now, that's because if you look at Massachusetts and the literal witch hunt that took place in the early, in the early days of the founding of what is not founding. That's just a fancy way of saying stolen land. Now, the stealing and renaming of what is known today as the United States of America. Newsflash, it's not that united. Like saying United States of Africa, even if we changed the African Union said a name to United States of Africa, those of us that are on the African continent know bleeping well, we know that united. And that's a good thing. The reason of the good part of having people around you is okay. What good is having people around you if you can't, use them to kill boredom by annoying the life out of them? That's the beauty of being alive. So, the Massachusetts, the Salem witch hunts, if there's one thing we can learn from that is that a court of public appeal is just a bad idea when it comes to national decision making. And that's why. Let me explain why. This is Mind the Gap. It's a comedy show. It's not anything analytical or any academic research based analysis of any sort. So take that with a pinch of salt. Now, with that in mind, the reason why we know at this point. The reason why we know as a species that the Court of Public Appeal is a bad idea is because, for one, you have a lot of judges making decisions from a lot of different backgrounds. Some of them are making decisions because they have, they are experts in the field and they analyzed the status quo and they reached that conclusion. But those are a very small group of them coming out of the public, Court of Public Appeal judges. Now, most of the judges coming out of the Court of Public Appeal have no clue how the system works, but they have made a decision of how things must be. In other words, they make their decision by simply scratching their heads and going like, actually, I hate this guy. Therefore, this is the conclusion I'm going to reach. Now, that's not a very good way to make a law. That's not a very good way to run a country. Well, forget a country. That's not a very good way to run a family. If every decision you make is you just scratch your head and then whimsically go like, this is how it's going to go. Yeah, that family, first of all, your wife or husband is going to run for the nearest exit they can find, assuming you even get to the point of husband. Actually, if you realize that someone keeps making whimsical decisions when you're already husband or wife, what were you talking about when you were dating? Because, really? And anyway, the reason why I'm using that as an example is because during the Salem witch hunts, people were
literally bent because someone had a dream about them. Someone had a bad dream about them. Take, for example, I'm super stressed and then start overthinking a bunch of things. And then I just fall asleep with all those, negative type of overthinking in my head. And then I end up having a nightmare about, for example, Mandume chasing me with a panga. Well, the next day when I wake up, I just go to the authorities and report that actually, well, Mandume wants me dead. At this point, Mandume is going, just what the heck are you talking about? You're very funny and short, but still Kavango. What? Why would I chase you with a panga? And guess what? I'll just go on and say, I had a dream. And as ridiculous though as that may sound today, legal judgments were made on someone's dream. At this point, you're asking, why didn't they just call witnesses? Oh, they called witnesses. Guess what witnesses said? I also had the same dream. This other, about 2 years ago, this guy is up to something. About 2 years ago, I had the same dream about, I had the same dream that Mandume was chasing me with a panga. So clearly, Mandume doesn't want us to live here. So the only solution is, tie him up at the stake and then set him on fire. And just like that, people were hung. People were public executions because of public court of appeal. So, believe it or not, is the legal system we have perfect? Absolutely. Oh, by no means. But the contrary is worse. If you ask me, I think we have it better when one judge who went to school is making the judgment than everyone making the judgment. Again, like I said, as a species, we've tried that. It didn't end well. And one thing is, in Africa, we can relate over why court of public appeal is a bad idea. How often have we heard of, wasn't that a week or two ago, or just less than a month ago, when a gentleman somewhere in the northern regions, I think those were my regions, if I remember that correctly, where one gentleman ended up on the wrong side of the authorities after taking the life of an elderly in his family because he was convinced she was a witch. What? So, are you a witch? No, I'm not. And what are the characteristics of a witch? I don't know. So you're not a witch. You don't know the characteristics of a witch. And you can't prove any of the two, but you just made a decision. You have reached the conclusion that just by looking at someone and went, She has got to be a witch. Why? Well, I'm seeing gray hair and a little bit of wrinkles walking with a stick, not walking straight. That's called growing old, you idiot. It's not a witch. It's called aging. That is where you are headed, whether you like it or not. That explains why they keep throwing on, Brazilian hair. The virgin Brazilian hair part is still debatable with me. The virgin part, yeah, not buying that part. Now, here's the thing though. The witchcraft accusations that we keep facing in this, in this country is the reason why I also, is the reason why I'm an advocate of a civil court or a traditional court, as long as it's not relying on someone's dream for evidence. Because here's one thing about dreams. I can pretend to dream anything none of you can debate my dream, because the only person that can have my dreams is me. How many of you have, I don't care how much you love each other, you're not going to share a dream. You can share a drink, you can share a bed, and well, hence the whole marriage thing. But the point is, you can't share a dream. Therefore, I can claim to have dreamt of something, even though I know very well I didn't have that dream. But, well, I can just bring it up, knowing that none of you can dispute it, because, well, it's a dream. It's a very individualistic thing. One of the most selfish things Mother Nature had to offer. But, so, there's a lot of fury that comes with all the rise in a lot of public funds allegedly missing. And, you know, with a bunch of people being, you know, with a bunch of people facing, facing the law to sort of like explain what happened to this money. Now, for the past couple of weeks, one thing that I've learned from the NAMCO bail application is that, it's very easy to say that someone did something. Proving it is a whole different ballgame. Now, here's the thing now at this point. You could be asking yourself one question. Why do you have to investigate? If someone is alleged to have stolen money, just throw them in jail and take their properties and sell their properties and give the money to the state. Now, this is, I'm reading this in the comments and I'm going, as a human being, I'm going, this person is just basically saying, throw away the law and let's just go with the, with the law of the jungle here, the strongest survive. You do realize if we just tossed away the law, as some of us may be tempted to think, and then, you know what, just forget the law. Let's go with the, you know, let's go with the court of public opinion. Today is my relative that's been executed on a whim. Now, because you're not related to that person, or you don't know them anyway, you could be just running around and saying, you know what, well, that is true, just execute. You know what's going to happen the next day? Your relative is at the stake. That's when you'll be going like, I supported this type of dispute resolution back then, but this is not how it should happen. What we mean by that is, when it's someone I'm related to, the law must not apply. But when it's someone I'm not related to, well, or yeah, just go ahead and execute them. Now, before you start saying, oh, well, I've never thought like that. First of all, you're one heck of a liar. We all have thought of that. When something falls on someone that is closest to us, we don't want it to happen. But when something falls on someone that we don't have any type of relationship with, we don't care. It's called human nature, selfishness, as I call it. It's very natural to human beings. I know. It's nice. One historian asked that, have you ever asked yourself why the only genocide that covers every school curriculum around the, around the world is, the Holocaust, in Nazi Germany, World War II. To this day, on social media, you can't mention Hitler's name without risking your account being banned. But you can just go ahead and start, and say King Leopold. You'll still be fine. So, at this point, this is one of those things that makes me go like, if you want something to carry relevance, do it yourself. The Jewish community invested into making you scared to even mentioning the word Hitler. Now, what did we want them to do? To start, investing into demon, investing into the genocide that took place in all across the continent of Africa, so that we can demonize all the perpetrators that took, that brought about these things too. Nope. They were like, well, we're going to demonize that guy who almost exterminated us. If you want the guy that wanted to exterminate you demonized, you do it yourself. And that's where I go like, yeah, they have a point. They have a point. If you want a job well done, do it yourself. And I think, you know, as a country, with the, you know, kicking down of, a franchise statue, I think we're doing great. We are doing great. That's if you're not white and related to the guy, because there were a bunch of people that kept saying, yeah, no, don't take out the statues for historical reference. Yeah, right. Try taking Hitler's statue in the middle of Tel Aviv and start convincing the Jews that, well, this is just for historical reference. We all know you're going to get your behind kicked big time. So, what's the difference? You're welcome. This is the reason why we have, this is the reason why we have comedians. Is so that we can, as a comedian, my job is to point out, something that, everything that a bunch of people don't like pointing out. Like, you know, this thing called, the reality. Okay, here's the thing. From the look of, un momento, s'il vous plaît.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3-month subscription, 10% discount for 6-month subscription, and 25% discount for 12-month subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. And where are we? The court of public appeal. When something impacts us, we go... when something impacts us and those ones that, and our loved ones, we go, why is these things like this? And when it's nowhere near us, we start going, yeah, well, these things happen, it's life. We find a bunch of excuses to justify it. So, I think that's where I'm an advocate of the current legal system that we have. Like I pointed out earlier, is it perfect? Oh no, for the love. It's not perfect anyway. We have had, shortly after the COVID-19 pandemic, the South Korean president, pardoned one of the Samsung family guys, so he can come, gave him a presidential pardon. Just a few years after that, that guy's father was given like, one or two presidential pardons why? Because Samsung is huge. Samsung and Hyundai, these two companies, if they failed, just these two companies, the South Korean economy would be in serious trouble. So, Samsung Electronics, which is a parent company of Samsung Refrigeration, cell phones, and all these subsidiaries that they have, is a family company. It's a family owned company. So in other words, it's safe for you to say that that family wields a significant level of power when it comes to South Korea. And every country has a group of, very old money type rich families like that. Which is why I don't subscribe to the whole crap of, we are all equal before the law. Yeah, right. Well, in theory, yeah. Practically, well, but I don't know. Now, actually, I know. We don't. Look. Like I pointed out earlier, the beautiful part about being a comedian is you get to face the type, to bring up the type of let's face reality, one that everyone tries their best to avoid. Like the fact that we're all gonna die. I know we don't like to face that. No, please, don't talk about that. It's a taboo. What taboo? Our Lord and Savior was here. He died. Oh, yay. One thing about death. You can just run around and rule and walk around like you own the planet. One day is one day, we're all gonna die. Now, should that be diabolically mean for me to say? Okay, maybe partly. But the point is, that should be, we shouldn't look at that as a negative thing, as, you know what, what's the point of living? I mean, so we just die now. No, just look at that as a, well, we don't have enough time. We may as well just leave now because, well, we're not going to live forever. Let's go out there and have some good time so that when death comes, you'll be like, right, I tried it all. All right, people, bye-bye. I know. But then we start... let me not go down that road because, that one is even more darker. And that's coming from me. Now for the Fish Road case, I promised, is still coming and it will be with you shortly. Just relax as soon as it comes online, we'll bring it to your attention. So until then, let's talk about courts of public opinion. Courts of public opinion, we have tried that as a species. It never, never, never works out well. Why? Because the more the people become, the dumber they become. That's George Carlin's analysis. I'll give you an example. In the early 2000s, and I think, 2006, a movie titled Idiocracy came out. And, that's still one of my favorite, comedy movies. And, the movie was based on a futuristic American society where everyone was basically dumb and very stupid. Now, the prediction the movie made was that, In the future, people are going to be very dumb and stupid. And boy, was the movie right. Let me explain why, what I mean by that. Now, because the movie was, was somewhat of a low budget one, they decided to, to buy just the, to work with the money that they had. Instead of saying, no, we don't have enough money, so we are not going to produce this movie. They produced it anyway. As you can imagine, instead of buying flashy clothes for the characters, they decided to buy the cheapest things they can, including a pair of sandals that is very widely worn today. And what happened was, Idiocracy was filmed, and then the characters, to sort of like, because of budget constraints, they got them rubber sandals. Those rubber sandals were worn in a movie that supposedly portrayed how stupid people are going to be in the future. And those sandals are Crocs. Now, if you did not know that, now you do. The question is, do you own a pair of sandals? Do you own a pair of Crocs? If you do, are you an idiot or not? This is coming from a movie. It has nothing to do with reality. But were they wrong? Again, the movie itself, Idiocracy, is the reason why, if you ask me, Court of Public Opinion is a bad idea. Because it's very easy to persuade a large number of people to do something, even if something is dumb. They are going to do it if you get a large enough number of people to do it. A lot of people will find themselves doing it without even asking themselves, why am I doing this? We don't ask ourselves that when, you know, when it's about something that people, you know, when a lot of people are doing something, we just, you know, hop on a bandwagon. Find someone with a cell phone, for example, iPhone, Samsung, Huawei, whatever phone. Just ask them, why did you buy that phone? Just specifically that one. I don't know. I saw it, one friend of mine having it this other time. I thought it looked nice. That? Now, why are you dressing like that? Well, this is how everyone is dressing these days. How often do you hear that? Well, I'm doing these things this way because, well, that's what everyone is doing this way. That's what everyone is doing today. That's the dumb part about public opinion. More often, we don't have an opinion of our own. We make decisions or we make those opinions based on opinions made by others without first trying to find out what made them make that particular opinion. We don't. And by the way, when I was in high school, I was introduced to a very fancy, English word called peer pressure. I thought that only happens in high school. Oh no, it also happens in adulthood. Workplace environments, peer pressure, check. School, peer pressure, check. I think even in pension home, peer pressure, did you see that, the guy next door has a new oxygen cylinder. Can I have one too? Mine looks pretty old, but it still has oxygen, which is why you're still breathing, Papa. I also need a new one. You know, I need a blue one. Who cares what color the oxygen container is, as long as it has the oxygen, because that's what you need. Well, the color is also important because it, you know, mental health, and that's when we start throwing in some, you know, a bunch of modern garbage now. You know, because of my mental health, and it has nothing to do with that. So, one other example. You know why we need stubborn people? Everyone is born with different, everyone is born with different traits, which are influenced by a lot of things, including genetic, with genetics being one of it. And that's very important to think about. Why do you need stubborn people? Well, because I think there's a very thin line between being stubborn and being determined. I don't know if you have realized this, but people that are classified as not stubborn have terrible decision making. In other words, they can be English word for it is easygoer. In other words, they are willing to go with pretty much everything that's thrown their way. You are not an analyst. You said, yeah, I'm a comedian. How do you know that? Well, because I am one. Decision making, not my strong suit. And my friends will just not hear the end of that. Now, the reason why, if you look at military leaders, for example, most, if not all of them, have the same, have one thing in common. That's they're stubborn as heck. In other words, take the War of Liberation Struggle, for example. A bunch of people that, that are loaded, especially those that made their money from selling sweets that mined underground, they were willing to go along with anything that the apartheid regime was throwing at them. Oh, you are going to have this amount of money as long as you just stay away from these streets because you're black. And they were like, okay, fine. If I'm making money, I'm making money. Who cares what street I go to? And then there are those that founded the War of Liberation struggles. And now they're like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Why? It's because, well, if we live in a country and we are contributing to the economy because we work for your companies, we're going to go anywhere. And as you can imagine, the apartheid South Africa was like, no, you can't go anywhere. And the liberation struggle guys were like, oh, no, we are going to go anywhere. And then there was a squabble. And they kept on fighting until it reached a point where the apartheid, the apartheid regime was like, yeah, we're not getting out of this. So we're going to have to sit and negotiate. Now, that's basically, in a nutshell, how things work in the, things work in the world of geopolitics. Now, one of the reasons why I think it's worth pointing out why I like comedy is that, you know how Al Jazeera made a documentary about corruption in Namibia? That's a very nice documentary. I still watch it. You know what I would do if I was NBC? I would go to Qatar and do my own investigation and go to South Sudan and do my own investigation. There's a lot of debt in which the Qatari are implicated taking place in Sudan right now. I bet you $1 million Al Jazeera is not making a documentary on that. Why? It's simple, guys. It's not rocket science. I'm not judging. It's human. Never bite the hand that feeds you. I really like that philosophy. Let's take a break. It's very easy to criticize someone when they are not signing your check. And, you know, I think that's why I'm an excellent comedian. That's number two. Number one, that's why I like my boss. Because I have come here, believe me, several times. And cooking the heck out of him. He still calls me and go like, ah, yeah, 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 you idiot. Actually, he doesn't say that. He says, you chief. I'm not about to crucify myself here. You chief. Actually, the idiot is the word that he uses, but he's the only one who can use it. The rest of you, you will have to pay for it. Because he's literally paying for it. You know, it's a very expensive name. A title, not name, title, point of correction, title. Now, the philosophy of never bite the hand that feeds you, even Al Jazeera understands that. They will make a documentary about, the poor ministers in Namibia. And their corruption allegations, and the allegations are stacked up against them. But when it comes to what is going on within their own governments, no one would do that. There are not a lot of national stations that will basically do that. Nope. No. Why? Because that's how you go broke. Let's take a break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
I want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever
you are.
And welcome back. The time is 20 minutes past the hour of 10. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. And I'm here all about public opinions and, why basing a decision on based on a public opinion alone is a bad idea. Why, you know, established legislations are needed. Again, the point is, are those established legislations perfect? Absolutely not. Do they apply to everyone equally on paper? Yeah, in practical? Absolutely not. You know it. I know it. I can say that. Well, the beauty of it is, I'm a comedian, so I can say that. But you have a bunch of legal analysts that will tell you these laws apply to all of us equally. Oh, really? Oh, yes, it does. I mean, look at this, and they are very, very, very educatedly dumb. And they can just go on and give you an example upon example using very sophisticated English, but deep inside, oh yeah, they know. So, now, for the meantime, before I cross over to, you know, to making fun of white people, everyone that has been following the bail application has realized one thing, that the cross examination is ongoing as we speak. I still have to, you know, I still have to listen to that, because I just sat through almost 2 hours, because I didn't listen to the whole thing because I wanted to have a weekend. Almost 2 hours of examination in chief, and the explanations that was given by Jennifer Hamkwaya made me look forward to how is the state going to look at this, because in a lot of the state's allegations, they kept saying NAMCO, 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 NAMCO. They were not specific as to what the, NAMCO, the holding company, or NAMCO, the operating company, aka the subsidiary. Now, the whole holding company and operating company, if you look, just look at what these two companies does, the separation of power in there, and therefore accountability, is genius level. Whoever laid up this, whoever set up this structure, you can bet it took like 1,000 years of reshuffling and learning from the mistakes, because boy, that was something else. Now, you know how we say in politics that, politics, really? Since when? You know how they say in politics that majority counts? There's something fundamentally flawed about that system. Therefore, that technically means majorities are always right. No. One thing about the history of mankind that we have, if life have taught us one thing, is that, more often when it comes to things of significance for the society, the majority is always wrong. Almost always wrong. I'll give you an example. Take colonialism, for example. Was colonialism right? Forget colonialism. Let's narrow it down to a very small scale of of something that maybe just the South Africa and Namibia can relate. Apartheid, for example. There are a lot of white people. I didn't use the word all on purpose. There are a lot of white people that sided with apartheid. And this, throw in the entire Western world, they were more powerful and they had a lot of financial backing and military to basically back up the apartheid regime. Were they right? No. Were they more in comparison to the population of Namibia and South Africa? Absolutely. But were they right? No. It's not the more the merrier when it comes to geopolitics. Everything is interest-based. If we gave them this independence, you can bet the whole thing of you know what, black people are less evolved, they can't rule themselves, that I think it was, there's this Bota guy that, that whole speech is mostly attributed to. Black people can't rule themselves, and a lot of Africans, actually, believe it or not, a lot of Africans cite that speech every time they talk about corruption. They think, in their infinite stupidity, they think corruption only exists in African countries. You have no idea just how much corruption goes on in Western countries. Every country has corruption. There is not a single country on this planet that does not have corruption. Other countries, on the other hand, have strong institutions to hold those that are corrupt accountable. A lot of countries, you just don't hear it because, well, it barely goes to court. The U.S. president just accepted a custom-made passenger airline-sized private jet from a foreign government. Now, just sit down and ask yourself one question. If you woke up tomorrow morning and then you got yourself a newspaper or you turned on your TV and saw that President Tumo Nandi Ndaitwa received a jet as a gift. Forget a jet. Received a gift from the Chinese, Japanese, American, South Korean, and Russian government. How do you think the newspaper is going to be that day? Cars were donated or acquired by IPC last year. IOM was caught in the crossfire. That's how the storm went wild. Now, why? It's because we are very suspicious of corruption. Not because we are not corrupt. It's because we know us. Actually, one thing we know about us is that we are not very good at giving something for free. So every time someone has something shiny and they tell us it's for free, we are more inclined to ask, what's the catch? Because we know there is most likely going to be a catch. Like 99.9999% of the time, there's a catch. What is the catch? No, it was just a donation. No one is going to fall for that. Why? It's because no one in their right mind just gives you an aeroplane for free without expecting anything in return. Forget all that. No one gives you a pen without expecting anything in return. Every time my crush gave me borrowed a pen from me and I said, no, fine, you can keep it. She thought I was just being a gentleman. No, I like you, you idiot. I'm just one heck of a coward. I can't tell you that. The beautiful part about a high school crush is that you run into each other when you're adults and you're like, what? I was giving you hints, and especially ladies, you guys must stop that nonsense. Well, I was giving you hints all the time, but you just didn't notice it. I mean, okay, first of all, I can't believe I'm pointing this out for the millionth time. There's a reason why we watch the movies with subtitles, because we don't do hints. No. You can rub the hints in our face. Could have picked a better example. But, we would still not. Okay. Well, my friend was right. I need prayers. But But we don't do hints. There is no such thing as this is for free. They pay for the love of God. How many times I'm going to point this out? No. Well, it was just an aeroplane. An aeroplane. For free. Yeah. Right. From one businessman to another, an aeroplane, that's not for free. So that's why I like to point out the reality on the ground about about this whole diplomatic relations. We're just in a diplomatic relationship. That country is going to invest. It's all just about mutual understanding. I think a diplomacy is actually an excellent explanation. It's an excellent way of doing it, because in diplomacy, you know that I invest in your country, you invest in mine. The reason why we have this friendship on a political level is so that our private sector, aka the trading guys or public ones, can actually do business with each other through us because of the relationship we have established. Look at it as a sleepover. You are not going to go over to a total stranger's house for a sleepover, are you? Because you are not that dumb. Why? You are most likely going to go for a sleepover to friends that you met through your parents, or in one way or another, your parents must know each other. And now, because your parents know each other, then they can both guarantee your safety. Every time your behind is not home on time, they will call that home and try to find out, it's Helm's time for dinner. Is he by any chance still there? Oh no, they're friends, room playing video games. Now, as kids, we looked at that and went like, oh my God, my parents are so strict on me. Why can't they just live my own life? First of all, you are 10. Your own life without rain, water and electricity, you wouldn't have a life. You'd be dead. Second, this is how things work. I'm paying the mortgage, I'm buying the food. The best you can do is listen to me. So, unless you are winter, rain and sunproof, you're going to have to behave. I'll make him an excellent father. Very excellent one. Excellent. I am an excellent one. Naturally. Very good one. So proud of me. Well, the bottom line here is, if you can't congratulate yourself, who's going to do it for you? No one. Because jealous, see? Jealous. Now, anyway, let me just use the remaining minutes, the remaining few minutes. Okay, yeah, to point out the second thing that I wanted to point out today. The first thing I pointed out was that Crocs were made for the Idiocracy movie, because the comedy movie projected truthfully, as we can now observe, that people in the future are mostly going to be idiots. And everything they will do, including the clothes they are going to wear, is going to reflect that idiosyncrasy. It's going to reflect that idiocy. Okay, whichever. Now, anyway, the point here is, the point here is this. The sandals. Now, you have to understand that the movie came out, you have to understand that Crocs were made before the movie came out. So it's not that the movie, it's not that the sandals were made for idiots. It's just that they were popularized by the idiot ideological movie, where they had a point of view that in the future, this is a comedy show, a comedy movie, in the future, a lot of people, in the future, people are going to be idiots. And boy, was the movie right. That's not a movie. I think it's a documentary. Yeah, that's not a movie. That's a documentary. And guess what? A lot of people started buying those shoes. My homies had some of them. And you know why? They have been convincing me to buy some. But look, for me, I like the material. They are really soft. But the design, though, those things look like knickknacks. But for some reason, they have gotten to the level where they are a swag. Now, that again goes to show that if you can market something good enough, you can sell people anything. You can sell people anything. Heck, well, during slavery, who did the marketing for people to sell other people? There's not a lot of marketing done, but people were still sold. And people thought, well, there was nothing wrong with it. So I'm telling you, our species is twisted to the core. And we're sick. It's just that some humans are just more sick than the other. Like the, you know, like the Jeffrey Epstein guy and his rich homies. Yeah. That's just something else. That's just something else. So, the question everyone was asking themselves with regards to the Jeffrey Epstein Island was that, if you're a billionaire and you have all the money in the world, of all the red light districts that are all around the world, why would you want to traffic minors for sexual exploitation if you can just have any adult woman in the world? You can have any that you want. I mean, you are a billionaire. Just pick someone your age. That's the part that never made sense with anyone. Like, okay, why? Why would they, just go for underaged girls? Until, a former Mossad agent, a former Israeli intelligence officer came out and then wrote a book, Dead Men Tell No Tales, where he alleges that Jeffrey Epstein Island was used as a, was used by the, I don't like to say the Israeli government, because I subscribe to the Noam Chomsky idea that Israel is a colonial outpost. Yeah, that makes sense for me. More than it be. You pick yours. The thing is, why would the whole Western world be caught up in a scandal like that? Especially the top, we're talking from celebrities to a lot of powerful people from, from sports, music industry and business moguls and political leaders are all caught in a crossfire. Now, the former Israeli intelligence officer in question, in his book, then explains that, this was a blackmail ring. It had nothing to do with sexual satisfaction. It was a blackmail ring where they would get a lot of celebrities to basically take all this kind of heavy drugs in a form of blowing off steam. And then every time they would pass out, in all these beds, they would, position all the miners in all these places and then take compromising pictures and videos of them. And sometimes, who knows, maybe that's just their twisted sense of sexual satisfaction. Maybe they wanted it with a miner. Jesus. And now, according to him, that's why you see all this unwavering support towards Israel coming out of the West. It's not because they don't have a sense of moral compass. It's because, someone out there has a hard drive full of your videos as a journalist. Now, take for example, today, a bomb can be dropped on, a bomb can be dropped or, a bunch of aid workers or journalists, United Nations officials can be shot down in Gaza. And then you see, someone who is a news anchor coming out of the West saying, there was a lot of casualties that was faced, but well, these things happen in war. There's nothing that the Israel Defense Force could do. Those were Hamas operatives. They were kids in a queue to get food. Oh no, they're Hamas operatives. In other words, someone is whispering in my ear and telling me that, here's the thing. You know those videos of pictures of you that we took? We still have a hard drive of it. This is what you are going to say, or they are going to end up on Facebook. and a WhatsApp, Telegram, oh, you're going viral. And here's the thing about, you know, the general public. They're so dumb, they're not going to analyze any of it. They'll just believe that you are sick. Actually, you're sick. We will just be exposing that you're sick. In other way, we are using your sickness against you. So, a point of correction, you're not sick, you're nuts. You'll just be using your nutsness against you. So, you're going to have to go out there and follow this script. Don't worry, we'll pay you a behind load of money. Now, those allegations makes me go like, should I take this serious? Because one, it's coming from a former intelligence officer. So take that with a pinch of salt. This is someone who was literally trained to lie. That was his job. Lying. Not the lying that politicians do. No. Like literal lying. A little bit of killing, you know, murder, you know, assassinations here and there, you know, the whole nine yards. All that. Now, those were allegations that were made in a form of a book. Now, that gentleman, by the way, he's not the first one to make allegations of that, allegations of blackmail against, implicating the Israeli intelligence and why you see all this unwavering support coming out of Western leaders. Now, anyone that has read Whitney Webb's two-volume book, One Nation Under Blackmail, paints somewhat of a similar picture. So now you have two sources, two books, One Nation Under Blackmail and Dead, you know, Volume 1 and 2 and Dead Men Tell No Tales. They are all pointing to two things. The Israeli intelligence is involved in a massive global blackmail ring. Yes, I said global. To this day, the question that the whole world, especially the African, Africans that are interested in politics have been asking is, why did Kabila set up a meeting between the then head of Mossad, Cohen, and the then ICC chief prosecutor, Bensouda of the Gambia? No one has an answer to that question. Question is why? She made it clear she didn't want to meet with him. He made several attempts. That's Cohen. Made several attempts to try to meet Bensouda. But she kept saying no, because he's the head of Mossad. Like, you know why she said no? Because she knows that this is a secret service person. He's loyal to his country. Morality is an afterthought for him. So meeting him to discuss morality is a waste of time. She kept avoiding him. Guess who arranged a meeting? It's not a meeting. It's what was described by a lot of people as an ambush. It was Kabila of DRC. Was that Kabila? I think that was Kabila Jr. Don't quote me on that, but I think that was Kabila Jr. So the question that everyone kept asking was, why did he arrange an ambush with one of his own? Guess we'll never know. Is he also implicated in those massive blackmail ring? I'm tempted to think so. Now, this is why I like to say, count me out of politics. Now, here's the thing. Wanting politics to be morally right is like wanting a sex worker to be a virgin. It doesn't work. It's like wanting a politician to be one very honest guy. First of all, politics does not operate on telling the truth. You're going to have to lie for you to be successful in politics. First of all, if politicians told the truth, wouldn't have politicians. I'll give you an example that I've given you, like a million times over. If there was a political campaign out there and I was running for office and I was telling the people that were listening to me, I mean, this giant crowd in front of me now, I'm just there to market myself. Like, okay, you know what? I want to be the head of NAMCO. Now, the thing is, if you vote for me and I get into that office of the managing director of NAMCO, boy, I'm gonna steal all the money, send all my kids to private school, boarding schools outside the country, and then I'll steal all so much money that your relatives will get fired because there wouldn't be enough money to pay their salaries. Let's just be honest here. Are you voting for me? If your answer is yes, and you have a voter's card and a driver's license, please give them up. When your answer to that question is no, then we can drive with you in the same road. Then we can get in the same queue with you to go and vote. But if your answer is no, if your answer is yes, you would vote for me. I don't think there is any amount of prayers that can get you out of that stupidity. First of all, may your soul rest in peace. Because at this point, let's just say you're dead already. You are just a walking, talking zombie. It's a walking, talking zombie. I don't know. The whole zombie idea is a Western concept. Here we just call them ghosts. No, a zombie is someone that died and then came back to life. Every Western guy. Well, wait. You mean a zombie? Africans were like, not really. Where we come from, we call that ghost. Oh, no, then Westerns will be like, well, we also have ghosts, but ghosts are like, they come in like spiritual form. As long as you just die and then come back after we buried you, I'm a ghost. Physical or not ghost. Yeah. Very ghost. So, on the part of dying and coming back to life, and also public opinion type of summary, let's come back on the others, and let's take a break, and when we come back on the other side, I'm going to take my time to make fun of white people. Now, the reason why I'm making fun of you, dear white people, is that I came across a documentary on National Geography, and also came across one article on the Smithsonian website, you know, the Masonic guys, where they explained in excruciating detail how y'all were eating ancient Egyptian mummies for medication. Huh? Believe it or not, the reason why scientists today don't have a lot of mummies, a mummy is not your mom, not that type of mom. A mummy is someone that died a long time ago, and they basically preserved them the Biltong way, with all the, you know, spices and stuff. Now you can totally understand why white people looked at mummies and went like, I bet that tastes yummy. But it was believed that, you know, in the very same way that we are finishing rhinos today, because it's believed that, rhino horns can help Johnson stand up straight. It was also assumed that, mummies had medical properties and they were eaten in large numbers. Quick break. Then we can explain all that, mummy, you know, slash Biltong. Hang on a second. Is that where the idea of Biltong come from? Nah. That's the oldest form of food preservation. That's how you know I'm never giving up Biltong.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
And welcome back. We have 10 minutes before the hour of 11. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. And I'm here until the hour of 11. Like I pointed out earlier, we were supposed to have a little bit of a collabo between, Mind the Gap here and Windhoek High Court. We're dealing with the Magistrate Court there for the past 2 or 3 weeks. That's with regards to the NAMCO bail application, or what I like to call state versus Range Rover Oil N1 bail application case. And this is was supposed to be, okay, it's still going to happen. It's just that I think we are dealing with African, with African time here. Supposed to start at 9, and then it went to 10, and now we are 9 minutes to 11, so... Consider African time. But this is, I think, there are a lot of people that are waiting in anticipation of the beginning of the Fitzgerald trial, because this is something that has been in pre-trial for a very long time. So again, I would actually advise you, for the sake of your own sanity and heart muscles, I just don't see the point of getting angry and blowing your heart in pieces from the money you didn't eat. Now, the people that lost their jobs, if you ask me, the people that lost their jobs, those people have the right to be angry. And the people that are related to them, they have the right to be angry. Why? Because they have understandable, that's understandable, is the mismanagement that led them lose their jobs. But if you're just one of those ordinary Namibians out there, not just going, you know what, I just hate these guys. pardon me. In the movie Deadbeat Dads, one guy, I think I've told this story before, so I'm just going to summarize it. One guy that tried to come back to, in his son's life after being absent for a very long time, found out that, first of all, he was all grown and hated, and hated his guts. And he tried his best to come back in his son's life, but then, in their... one day they had somewhat of an altercation and was trying to cross the road, and he was bumped by a car and he died on the spot. So, he ended up living a life of, what was I thinking? I should have been there for him. So, maybe he could not have hated me, and then we could not have had that quarrel that led to, to him crossing the road without looking both ways, and therefore ending up, being run over by a car. So because of that regret, he decided to start a absent father support group. Or more like, if there's anyone who is absent in your life, if there's someone who is trying to come back in your life after a long time of being absent, or if you are finding your way into someone's life, talk to me. So he started that support group. And one thing that he pointed out at the beginning of their encounter as a support group was that, hating someone because of something bad they did to you is like you drinking poison and then expecting them to die. I was like, you. That statement is stuck in my head to this day. I know it's a movie, guys. Don't get me wrong. I know it's a movie. But that's a statement of fact. Hating someone or holding a grudge and really hating someone because of something bad they did to you is like you drinking poison and expecting them to die. I'm not saying give them poison to die. No, no, whoa, 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 easy, easy. But am I saying take a shotgun? Maybe. No, no, no. Okay, no, fine. No, that's not. Look, the point is, the man was right. The man was right. Because, hate is obviously based on the principle of anger. And anger is very stressful. And that stress generates a hormone called, is it cortisol? That's the stress hormone. And it wreaks havoc on your body, like physically and emotionally. It wreaks havoc on your body. Like you, not the idiot that wronged you. No, they're perfectly fine. They're fine. Chances are very high they barely even think about you. You, on the other hand, that's holding that anger, it's chewing you from inside, like literally. And that's not healthy for you. Now, is it that easy? Oh, no. Oh, I can tell you that. It's not. Forgiving is difficult. I know you are waiting for me to say forgetting is also difficult. No, forgetting is impossible. You're not going to forget. I can tell you that. Okay, let's just clarify something here. You are never going to forget it. You are not. Forgiving, possible. Forgetting, nope. So, which is why I don't subscribe to the idea of just forget and move on. No. No one is going to forget something bad you did to them. No one is going to forget that. Forgive you, they can. Forget it, no. Unfortunately, it's not like there's a delete button. There is no delete button. That's one thing that makes it more painful. So, I think, I think life is a very serious challenge, guys, because, now you have, this mind that doesn't have a delete button, so you can delete some of the memories given to you by a bunch of idiots, but now you can't. So it's stuck with you. And you can't focus too much on it because then it's also unhealthy for you. So it's stuck with you. That's unhealthy. And you can't forget it. That's unhealthy. But you can forgive. That's healthy and very difficult. Really difficult. Unless you are our Lord and Savior, it's very difficult. Or maybe just, you are close enough to our Lord and Savior. And now I only have like 3 minutes. Now, National Geography. Feeling ill? In the 15th century Europe, the remedy for your headache, stomach ailment, or cancer might come with the side of an Egyptian mummy. Not an Egyptian mother. An Egyptian dead guy who died like a long time ago. You know, that guy that was revered. He was considered immortal. When he died, everyone was sure he's going on the other side to live a better life. What they did not know was that a couple of thousand years later, they were being cooked. Afterlife, my behind. So, for centuries, embalmed bodies were prized across the continent of Europe, not for their historical value, but for their purported, a.k.a. alleged medical benefits, according to National Geography. Hey, white people were hungry at this point. Like, just how much, what do you do to your land? I mean, you could have farmed. Now, you have to understand, these guys have, I think at this point, eaten most of the animals, which is why they came here. And when I said cooking white people, I wasn't joking. For centuries, embalmed bodies were prized across the continent not for their historical value, but for their alleged medical benefits. Here's the surprising reason that people once craved and ate mummies. Okay, National Geography, let's just correct one grammatical problem on that. Why people craved and ate other people. Thank you. You're welcome. Now, how did people start eating mummies? Long story short, they believed what someone told them without first of all, doing any kind of medical analysis or without asking for evidence. Now, the reason why the courts are meeting is not because they don't believe the state or the defense lawyers. They are just there asking for, I want to believe you, but what evidence do you have? Now, the thing is, there are a lot of people that will believe something without first asking for some type of evidence, rational, rationality behind. Like, please explain this to me. There are a lot of us that will do that. Now, tiny mummy aliens appearance finally. Oh, yeah, liar. The gory story, aka the very horrible stories, hinges on one word. Mamia, prized for its healing qualities, Mamia was a substance found in a single patient mountainside where it steeped from a black rock asphalt, named after the local word for wax. So, instead of waxing, these people ate other people, thinking that maybe there's a lot of medical properties. People ate other people because they believed it will help them live longer. That's us. Well, it's basically white people, but human beings. Now, at this point, anyone without white friends, anyone with white friends is actually laughing their lungs out. Well, not before you actually go there. if your white friends are smart, the counter argument they are going to use is Papua New Guinea. The four people. In the 1950s, when scientists first went there, they found that the four people were eating the brains of their dearly departed ones because they believed that the brains of the dearly departed is where all the demons of the dearly departed were residing. Now, the only way to contain the spread of this demon, to make sure that it doesn't go anywhere, was to first of all, well, cook the brain of the dearly departed, you know, throw in some spice and onions and stuff, and then give it to women and children, because they are the ones that had the ultimate power to contain this demon. You know what they ended up with? Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. I don't know what that is, but it was some kind of a terrible prion, brain, literally brain chewing disease. Literal brain chewing disease that turns your brain into a sponge, and it leads to movement issues and instant death. And they thought it was the demon that was causing the movement issues and instant death, but it wasn't the movement issues, and it wasn't the demon. It was because it turns out that's what happens when you eat one of your own species. That's interesting, but so. Europeans ended up eating mummies because they thought it had medical properties. If you think your culture is weird, white people have that in the history of their cultures. The live stream have not started, and but we'll still bring it to you as soon as it does. You know, factor in African time, ladies and gentlemen. Huh?
They ended up eating what?
Mummies, Egyptian mummies.
What is mummies?
Dead pharaohs that were spiced up and wrapped up in a bunch of clothes and left to dry.
It was Celtic. People were Celtic. They were Celtic nations.
All they had to do was get sea salt, not eat a bunch of dead guys. Well, a bunch of royal dead guys.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, I don't even know where to start explaining a lot of chaotic practices that, were done in the past.
All I know is I'm glad I was born in the 21st century, because there are things our ancestors did that will make us look at them and go, like, seriously, guys?
No, because, look, our ancestors, they didn't know. Because even in spirituality, there is insanity. We believe that spirits do exist, but not every spirit, is up to anything, is up to anything good. And unfortunately or fortunately, our ancestors didn't make the difference. Mm-hmm. So they obeyed anything as long as it comes from the spirits, as long as it sounds spiritual. They were obeying, without investigating. Can you imagine killing one of your own to receive rain?
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, but our forefathers didn't know that the rain patterns are not spiritual.
Yeah, it's called a water cycle.
Rain patterns are climatic. This is climate. This is just in within the nature. It's part of universe. It has nothing that with the spirits. No spirits can give rain.
Tell that to our ancestors. You know, back in the days, if you just said that, you'd be sacrificed for rain.
Of course.
Uh-huh. They're not going to ask questions. They'll be like,
no, they will just take you. You are the one.
What? They will go to the king. Can you believe what this guy just said?
And then the king will decide, let him come, bring him.
Yeah, bring him.
Cut him into pieces. Then
this year we're going to receive a lot of rain.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Because we were, and you see, that's one thing that robbed us of innovative power. Because to a certain extent, Europe, especially Western Europe, you know, the Germanics, these Germanic tribes where the Anglo-Saxons are coming from, what helped them, if it was not for the Vikings that came from Northern Europe, you know, to try to invade Western Europe, Western Europe would have been primitive. In fact, it is Northern Europe that helped Western Europe at least to calm down. Those guys were just busy tearing each other apart.
In the name of power and money.
In the name of both power, money, and spirit.
Yeah, God told me that, first of all, he loves all of us equally, but then he took the ultimate power to rule and then just gave it to me and my family.
Yeah.
What?
Do you imagine Napoleon standing, 1804, Napoleon stands up, gets into the largest cathedral, and declares himself the Führer, the Duke.
Now, look, there was a lot of weed going on back then.
I don't know what people used to smoke.
All right.
But it needs to be investigated.
We're not investigating that. Because if we find a chance are very high, we'll just start selling it. We're already making a lot of money from vapes. Until tomorrow, same time, same place, from me here on Eagle FM. And of course, Sizuma Salicho takes over from here, but, as soon as the live stream pops up, we're gonna cross over.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushe indife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heari nola natu heari bali no heari. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why?